I can give you. I am a history nut. I love history, but particularly I love military history. I know, who would believe, right? And my whole library is filled with World War I, II, Civil War. That's my thing. But actually, just as an aside, the study of war is the study of global self-esteem and nation self-esteem and how nations go after other nations for political self-esteem. So make no mistake, no matter where you look, if you chip away and dig away and you get to the core reason why the world takes the actions it does, it completely is about the self-esteem. The whole of World War II was started because Germany had lost its self-esteem through the Versailles Treaty. You just have to look and you think, what an absurd thing to say. Is it? I don't think so. I think the more you recognize it is the issue of life, the more important you recognize that you and the development of your self-esteem and the stretching it to redefine it so that you recognize everything about my life, everything I do, everything I say, the manner in which I treat people, the way I engage with my own life, whether or not I can fulfill my own potential, everything begins with whether or not I have respect, regard, and that deeper essence, whether or not I can make a commitment to live my life not based on the approval of other people, but because I respect my life so much that I'm strong enough not to need the approval of other people. That's a big deal. Here's one of the high risks of the development of self-esteem, and it sounds funny that there would even be a high risk involved. But I'm telling you, in your soul and in your gut, as you listen to me talk, there is a risk. And that's that not everybody is going to celebrate your empowerment. Because for a lot of people, that's going to change your relationship. I mean, I literally just had a conversation with a friend, and we were talking about her relationship with her mate. Now, this is a conversation that I have to say, after all the years of my work, I could call generic because I've heard it so many times, which makes me regard and respect the conversation all the more when I hear it again. She, like so many people, this isn't just women, it's men too, but I'm using a woman, is at that crossroads where there is a force of self that's being born, that crucial, vulnerable place where you realize it's as if you pop off a planet to another one and you're looking, and for the first time, you get bearings that say, I like breathing the big air out here. I like this. I like the idea of getting over to my own planet and maybe sort of deciding how I want to manage it and what the rules are going to be on my planet. I like it. But now you have to go back to that planet. And as you go back in there, there is this sense of dread that you're shrinking your entire self to get back to walking in. You have to fake looking the same and talking the same and feeling the same, only you're not the same. What's happened is you've discovered a place in yourself that doesn't agree with the life you were living, even as recently as this morning. One way to think of it is when you're born, your family manages yourself, you, the self inside of you, and that's the way it should be. And the tribe cares for your inner self and your external self and selfs you all the way through your maturing years. And in that process, and this is as it should be, your family or your tribe passes on to you survival instruction about how your self should act and take care of you in the world. But here's something else that I think is very real. The tribal self, or the whole, your family, also manages your psyche and your spirit, just as you are for your own children. So when I'm talking to you, don't think only through the victim, oh, poor me stuff. How many of you have victimized anybody is it the same sort of style? Like, do you use how you manage their self-esteem as the way you get to them? Okay, so how many of you have, just to test the waters, how many of you have been in a relationship or are in a relationship in which you know that person needs your approval for them to feel good, but you don't give it? So when I'm talking, just don't sit here and listen to what has damaged or not encouraged your own self-esteem. You must always listen to any good teacher from two ways. One is how it's influencing you, and two, how you've influenced others. You've got to do both ends of the coin. Otherwise, it never flows through you the right way. So let's return then to what I was saying in the original example, and what I've learned through my years in healing and in the development of intuition with people is that in that first stage of life, when we are part of a whole, when our sense of self is based on whether we honor our family, whether we live up to our family's expectations, whether we make our family proud, this is our first wave. During that time, the family or the group also manages your memories and manages the memories of your own experiences. Now, this is an important thread to understand here, and that's that a lot of people have lived very painful childhoods and have had horrendous experiences. And for all I know, maybe some of you listening have passed on a few horrendous experiences to your children. I don't know. But what I do know is that when a person lacks a sense of self, that person is not strong enough to hold the memories of an experience. So the memories are contained within the tribal or the family collective. So when a child, for example, goes to a parent and says, "Uncle is doing that to me," or "the neighbor is doing that to me," and let's say it brings on tribal shame to the self-esteem of the tribe, the family or the tribe cannot afford to